Okay, tonight is Monday night, November 12th, or fifth day of the month of Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir. We are up to Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis in Mayut Katan. And everybody's making fun about that I'm going to watch a Giant game tonight.
The only one who's willing to admit it.
Okay, Babutai. We read several stories in the Gemara, and I'd like to make a comment based on the last one that we read and the one before. So we are on Tes Zayin Amud Beis concerning Hahi Itza. So let me just get you the exact place. It's about six lines into the wide lines of the Gemara. In the middle of the line, it says, Hahi Itza. We read this last week. Everybody have the place? It was about the woman who was sitting in the street, and she had her leg outstretched. Hahi Itza Dehavas Yasva Beshvila. She was sitting in the street, in the sidewalk. Have a pashta kara, she spread out her leg, v'kam minifa chushla'i, and she was threshing or winnowing her grain. V'have a chalif v'ozel tzur b'mirabanan, and a student of the Rabbanan, one of the Talmidim, walked by, and she did not bring her foot back on his behalf or in his presence. Omar, he said, "Chama kama chatzifa hahi itza." This woman is a terrible chutzpah. Fine. Also, now she may have heard that. And she wanted to know what she should do. So, Osi Likame de Rav Nachman. She came to Rav Nachman and asked him his opinion. Omar Lo, he said to her, Mi Shamit Shamta Bipume? Did you hear him saying, I am putting you into Nidui, into Shamta, into Cherem? Omra Le Lo. So she said, I didn't hear anything of the sort. Amar lo, nonetheless, he said to her, Zili mihuge nizipusa chad yoma binafshe. Nonetheless, on your own, what you should do is observe one day of nizuf, which means the equivalent of when a Talmud Chacham gets angry at you. So you should do various things, which the Gemara had elaborated on. End of story. So now, if you take our sheets, we have a big machloikis, Rishonim and Achroinim. So we will start with the Hagos Maimunis in Perek Vav of Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Hagos Maimunis, as you well know, it's printed in every Rambam on the bottom of the Rambam. And he writes in Halacha Yud Beis, Had Omru Talmid Shinida Lichvodo, that which the Gemara says, which we read, that a student who puts someone into nidui based on an affront to his honor, under those circumstances, even though he is a Talmud, niduyav nidui, his nidui is effective. Hainu shebizuhu viginuhu bidvarim. What happened in the situation? Somebody embarrassed him, humiliated him, insulted him. How? By saying inappropriate things to this Talmud. Asher ginai l'talmidei chachamim. That is shameful, inappropriate for talmidei chachamim. Aval im lo bizuhu biklum. But if the person did not actually shame or ridicule the Talmud Chacham, Af she'eino michabdo, even though the person has not demonstrated the appropriate honor for a Talmud Chacham, kimo shechayav lechabdo, just as one is obligated to be mechabed any Talmud Chacham, kimo kima vihidur, that you have to stand when the person comes, if he's just a Talmud, if he comes within Dalet Amos of you, you are obligated to stand, as opposed to your Rebbe, when if you see your Rebbe, you're obligated to stand as soon as you see him, at eye shot. But for a Talmud, Dalet Amos. Or to offer Tehidur, what the Pasuk says, V'hadarta p'nei zakein, you should be mechabed, and the Gemara darshins, Ein zakein elazeh shekana chachma. It doesn't mean an elder. It does mean an elder, but it also means a Talmud Chacham. So that type of situation, behachi ayri, and that's the type of slight that was done to the Talmud Chacham, that the person did not provide ample kibud for this Talmud Chacham. Ha, the Amar b'Yerushalmi b'Pirkin. This is what the Yerushalmi says in our Perek, namely that what Rav Acha bar Chia b'Shem Rav Yochanan Zokein Shenida l'Tzoyrech Atzmo Afilo keHalacha Ein Niduyav Nidui. If a Talmud Chacham decides to put somebody into Cherem based on a concern that should have taken place, the person should have been mechabed him, and the person was not mechabed him. He didn't stand up for her. So, under those circumstances, if it's letzorech atzmo, says the Yerushalmi, under those circumstances, the nidui is not a nidui. And if that would be the case, even if the in this case, which we have. Even in the case, if the woman did not, if the Talmud Chacham did put her into Nidui, because she did not move her leg, and Nebuch, he had to walk around her, and she violated the laws of, certainly that alone is not an act of kibud, and she didn't stand up for him, nonetheless, the Nidui would not be a Nidui. That's what the Yerushalmi says, and that's what the Hagos Maimonis paskins like. So I'm going to ask you, do you think our Gemara supports this conclusion? The Yerushalmi said it, but does the Bavli, the way our Gemara presented the statement and the entire story, why not, Chani? Why doesn't it support it?
He said that.
Because what did Rab? What did he say? He said, "Did you hear anything?" Inference: if she had heard something, he would have told her to what? To observe a full nidui, which could possibly be 30 days. So that's what the Keren Ora is going to point out and ask the question on the Hagos Maimon. We'll see, but the Hagos Maimonis makes believe that he only looks at the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi makes a broad statement stating that if there is only a lack of kibud under those circumstances, you cannot put somebody into cherem. And it's oyla al adas that that's the case. You have no... See, if somebody says something, abuses you, insults you, the person engaged in a maisa avera, you're not allowed to be mevaza anybody. Certainly not permitted to be mevaza Talmud Chacham. So when somebody violates anything, it is our collective responsibility to be mochiachar. And in the case of a Talmud Chacham, what he's supposed to do in order to protect the dignity of a Talmud Chacham is to put her into a cherem. But where the violation is not a violation, it's just a failure to engage in a mitzvah asay, then you have no right to stand up for your own kibud. No right to do that. So others should be mechabed you. But to demand kibud is totally inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. So you know, it's a right. So, yeah, we all know stories, horrific stories, of Rashi Yeshiva who actually demanded kibud. I'm not going to say who the Rashi Yeshiva was, but he would go when he came into the Beis Medrash, and guys were learning, and the Rashi Yeshiva, if you didn't stand up as he was walking to his shtender, he came over to your stair, he closed your gemara, and he picked you up by your shirt, and says, "Tzichim la'amod, tzichim la'amod." You know who I'm talking about. So, you know, he used to do that. He did that. And in our high school, if you remember, there was a controversy between the official Rosh Yeshiva and one of the other rabbeim. Okay, long-standing feud. So when this Rosh Yeshiva, when the other Rebbe walked in, the Rosh Yeshiva would sit there and not move at all. When the janitor walked in, he got up. He wanted everybody to see that. The janitor. This Rebbe walked in, I got nothing to do for that. So, you know, they were demanding their cover. But anyhow, so was the Hagos Maimonides. Good. The Mechaver, Paskins like the Hagos Maimonides, as we will see in page number 2. The Mechaber says, Zokein shenido l'tzoyrech atzmo, afilu kehalacha. Eino nidui.
What's he meaning by afilu kehalacha? What does he
mean? He's sometimes people get a little hot under the collar because they don't like what he did with them. But the halacha doesn't demand necessarily. Let's assume the halacha says you have to stand up within 4 amos. Okay? This Rebbe saw you. You made eye contact with him 15 feet away. And you're sitting there. So he comes over and says, "Du hast mich gesehen? Bist du noch gestanden? You saw me, you didn't stand up?" You don't have to stand up. When he comes within 4 amos, 8 feet, that's when you got to stand up. So he says, "Afilu kehalacha." Even if the halacha demands that you do act appropriately under those circumstances, still it's ain't it. Kal v'chaymer, if he's getting angry at you when the halacha doesn't demand it. Because demanding kavod is something, elu devarim she'en lam shir, for people who like to demand kavod. So that's what the Mechaber says.
Look what the Ramah adds.
I was just going to say that. Perush, sheloi niskaven lichvoy toira, rak lahaviach momon, shel yitin lo shiyatil nidu. Even if what?
Blackmail,
exactly. Just you should get some money out of this.
That's terrible.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Incredible. Oh, she'asa mishum sin'ah. This Talmud Chacham did it. Why? Because he hates this person. All of these things don't work. Lo nida. And he still called it Talmud Chacham. Yeah. It just means what he's calling himself,
right.
Talmud Chacham. That's all. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I once told you about my Kamenitz Reb principal. I used to be the gabbai in Kamenitz in the high school. So every Rosh Chodesh, there was a rule in this place, you had to give the rabbeim an aliyah. As opposed to, I believe in education, no rabbeim ever get aliyahs. We get enough aliyahs all the time. In a yeshiva high school, kids should get all the kibudim, all the dude, everything. Fine. So I used to call up every Rebbe Marenu V'Rabbeinu. Okay. So this guy, I'm not going to say who he was, comes over to me and says, "You don't have to call everybody Marenu V'Rabbeinu. I can understand the Rosh Yeshiva. You have to call every Rebbe Marenu V'Rabbeinu." I said, okay. So the next Rosh Chodesh, I didn't call him Marenu V'Rabbeinu. I called him Marenu Harav, like all the other Rabbein. Comes over and says, "Tosabich nish gemeint." Imagine what a role model this is for high school kids. Okay, that's the Rama. Now comes along the Shach on page number 3.
Not a good topic.
So the Rama had made the comment shelo niskaven. Pirish ubagos maimenis, says the Shach, b'shem haramach pirish, dahainu kishelo bizuhu klal, where there was no insult directed at the Talmud Chacham. Elo she'eno mechabdo kimo shechayev lechabdo bekimo vehidur, eino ein niduyov nidui. Ubemaharik b'shem maharam pirish, the Iri beniduhu lifnei rabo. That what it's talking about is under what circumstances does a Talmud not have a right to demand and put you into nidui? Not in a plain situation, but when he does it in front of his Rebbe. So if the insult was witnessed by the Rebbe and the Talmud, who should have put the if it deserved nidui, who should have put him into the Rebbe should have. So even if it's justified, says the Shach, even if it's justified, the mere fact that the little, you know, Yungalat, the Talmud Chacham, the Talmud, decided to take the initiative before the Rebbe did, says the Maharik, that's reason enough not to honor the nidui. And that's how the Marik says, lo nitkaven. What does it mean, lo nitkaven? It means that, no, excuse me, that's not it. That's just a Marik statement. That even if a nidui situation was justified, but the Talmud Chacham, in the presence of his Rebbe, jumps the gun, under those circumstances, the nidui does not take effect. Does not take effect. However, the Keren Oira on page number 4 on our Gemara believes that our Gemara seems to support not the Mechaber, not the Yerushalmi. He says, Ayin b'divri harishonim shehiviu divri haYerushalmi zokein shenido l'tzorich atzmo va'afilu kahalacha ein niduyav nido uma shepirshubo, and everybody has what that they wanted, what they said. The hainu sheitin lo momon bad hatarasa, we wanted to make a few dollars if he would be moderate, whatever it is. Hu pirush tamua. That is a puzzling explanation of what's going on here. We're not talking about criminals who are trying to blackmail somebody. It's just that the guy had a little sense of, a little gaiva, a little arrogant, and he wants to put people in the chayim because he wasn't being treated properly. Not that he's a gangster. V'hagos maiminis piresh shelo bizu ela shelo osolo kima v'hidur u'bishvil ze niduhu. V'gam al ze kosher. That interpretation that we just read is very difficult. Why? The Sha'al Rav Nachman Lahahi Itza, Rav Nachman asked that woman, what? Din Kampanya, or Chulsha, or Chushla, me, I'm not sure exactly what that means, Kampanya, or Chulsha, not sure.
Mipume, is that the word Mipume?
What does it say, Mipume? It says that's the end of the word.
Oh.
Mishamit shamta mipume. That's the Gemara. Did you hear him say anything? Mashma, inference. De'i shoma shmat shamta. Had she heard him say, you ma'am are in cherem, hayechal olea hanidur. So, under those circumstances, the Gemara itself doesn't support that type of an issue. However, he says to defend it, v'yeshloimar, the hasam chatzifu saheve. This woman was a chutzpenit. Not just she didn't mechabed, she wasn't mechabed. How do I know? Because what did the Talmud Chacham say? Kama chatzifa hahi itza. That was the quote. So the Keren Oira is trying to justify that the mere fact that he said, Kama Chatzifa, therefore is what? As if what? As if she said something or did something that embarrassed him, that humiliated him. That's the answer. The kasha of the Keren Ayra is better than his answer. Because it doesn't appear anywhere, at least not in the dialogue of the story, that she said something or she did something that would be considered chutzpah. I might say that anybody who sits in the street and keeps their foot outstretched, but that's not directed at the Talmud Chacham. That's directed at anybody in the street. That's just not appropriate manners. But it's not something humiliating or something like that.
Unless she does it when he comes.
What?
In other words, when he approaches.
Okay, but that's not what the story said. The story said that she was sitting there with her legs stretched out, and she was, threshing some wheat. That's what it said. And then the Talmud Chacham came along.
Why the question of Rav Nachman Mishamat Deshamte Mepume? Like, what's the significance?
She wanted to know, should I do?
And she said no. Let's say she had said yes. What Rav Nachman would have told her?
Apparently, he would have told her, "You are now in Cherem."
He told her that already.
He said Nizuf, one day Nizuf, because you may have slighted him. He felt hurt, so accept upon yourself.
She was asking whether she should be in Nizuf versus
no. She asked, "What is my status?" So he asked her, did he say the word nidui, shamta? She said no. So Rav Nachman said, there's nothing going on here. Nonetheless, from his point, you are released of any type of modification behavior.
Okay, so that's how guys, then that proves that goes maimonos. That's what he said.
No, but what happens if he had said yes? What happens if the Talmud Chacham had said, and the woman had told Rav Nachman, yeah, he said I'm in nidui.
So how many days would she have been?
30 days.
Okay, but the purpose of the story is to show that Nizuf is one day.
So that's what happened. What did he recommend afterwards?
Okay, but doesn't the Gemara make...
He made a recommendation. What she should do, she should be in Nizuf one day. That's what he said.
So
the Keren Ayra was 100% right.
So if he had said yes, he would have put it in Nidui for 30 days.
Nidui for 30 days. Yes. And according to the Hagos Maimonides, she should not be in Nidui. Because even though he would have said it, it wouldn't have worked. It's Eino Nidui, because there were no justifications. So he tries to answer, does the Keren Ayra, since the Talmud Chacham said, look what type of a chutzpahnik she was, apparently he felt slighted. Okay, but that, just because you feel slighted doesn't mean that it reaches the standard of putting somebody in cherem. Yeah.
I mean, just this whole talk about if you don't do anything actively, it's different. But it also matters if it's in public or not. If everybody gets up for a Rebbe, except one person, that is almost like he's actively... That's a good point.
I haven't seen any... You're right, based on your characterization, but I would have imagined that someone, somewhere along the line, we'd come across somebody who would say, Bitsina, there's one step. The Farhesia, there's another step. Haven't seen it.
That's like here. Oh,
okay, I hear, perhaps, I'm not saying no. And in fact, the Rivash supports the Keren Ayra. If you look on page number 5 in one of the Rivash's Tshuvas, so he quotes our Gemara. If you look where it says six lines down, where it says Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, he quotes this case: Hahi Itza Dehevi Yasva B'Shvila UPashta Kara. She was sitting in the street, spreading out her foot. Have a Chalif. Tzura Merabanan, Talmud was walking. V'lo ichne akamei, she did not withdraw her feet. Omar, he said, Kama chatzifa hayitza. What chutzpah this woman has. Also, lekame to Rav Nachman. Omar lo, shamit shamta mipume? Omro le, lo. Omar lo, ihachi, if that's the case, zili nihigi nizifusa binafsheich chad yoyma. Just observe Nizuf for one day. Hinei, says the Rivash, Zot Ha'isha, Afal pi shelo bizesua. She did not insult the Talmud Chacham lahahu tzur b'rabbanan. Rak shehekela bichvodo. She made light of the kavod that was due him. Shelo nichna al mipanav. She did not. He doesn't even attack her for what? For not standing up. Where was the lack of kavod? By not withdrawing her foot, that he has to walk around her. Afal pikein hayoyachol inadosa imrotza. Apparently, if he wanted to, he could have put her into cherem. Because had he said it, Rav Nachman, in all probability, would have said, "Now you are a nidui for 30 days." Vizehu sheshoal lo Rav Nachman mi shamit shamto mi pume. Kal v'chaymer lemecharfoyu megavto. Certainly, if she wants, if a person is mecharef and megadev, curses Talmud Chacham, no doubt that you have to put him into cherem. But so in this case, he believes that the Gemara certainly disagrees with Agos Maimonides and the Mechaber. So it's a little strange that the Mechaber passed him like the Agos Maimonides. But not, I guess he did. You know, the Yerushalmi says so as well, and that's the way the Mechaber passed him. Nothing you can do. Yeah, even if the Talmud Chacham wanted to, he could have put her into cherem. It's the Talmud, right? He's not a big Rosh Kabbalah. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a student in the academy. Yeah. So this is a fundamental machloikis. Mama Gain Viter. Hold on a second before we get back there. I have a he'ora on the Gemara that we learned 2 weeks ago about the debate between Rebbe and Rav Chia as to whether or not Torah should only be learned in private or even in public. Public. So there are many who try to understand the core of the machloikis and what is Rebbe's point about lo me toroni bifnit. So some interpret this that bifnim doesn't mean necessarily inside. It does mean inside, but his purpose is that you should learn Torah not for any just. For pnimiyut haTorah, just to learn to become knowledgeable about the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not because of any extraneous reason, that the people outside are going to call me what? Oh, what a Talmud Chacham he is! I rush behind. That should not be the reason as to why you learn. So pnim and chutz is Rebbe's point. That a Talmud Chacham should always make the main purpose of his learning pnimiyut, not chitzoniyut, not that. That's one thing that I saw. And in fact, the Medrash Rabbah has a following story about Eliyahu HaNavi on this Gemara, that he came dressed up to Rebbe as Rav Chia. After Rav Chia noticed that Rebbe was, you know, heard from the dialogue that he was angry, and he treated himself as if he was a nidui for 30 days. And what did, now, when did Rav Chia want to come to him? When? Yeah. No, but what was wrong with Rebbe? Was it just on a visit? He was what? He was sick. It's good. So the Medrash said he had a terrible toothache. Terrible toothache. And Rav Chia, Eliyahu HaNavi, put his hand on Rebbe's tooth, and he got cured instantly. Instantly got cured. And, what? And so the Medrash says, what does this story teach us? That Eliyahu wanted to be Me'id to Rebbe, that Rav Chia did not disagree with him because he just didn't want to argue with Rebbe. He had a different opinion. He disagreed lishma. And the Medrash continues. What was the kernel of their debate? It's a Medrash in Parshas, Medrash Rabbah, Parshas B'chukosai, Parshas Yud. You can look it up anytime you want. Pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 119, verse 59, Choshavti dirachai, I was planning my route, Veheshiva ragli el edosecha, and my feet took me to your testimony. That's what the Pasuk in Tehillim says. Omar David said, David HaMelech, to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom. B'chol yom ha'yisi holech, I was just walking in the street, ha'yisi mechashe v'omer, every day I would say, l'makom ploni ani holech. I'm going to this location. L'beis dira, to visit this person, to his residence. L'shuk ploni, I'm going to this marketplace. And what happens? V'havu raglai mevios osi lebeis medrash lebeis hakneses, and my feet uncontrollably took me to a beis medrash or to a beis knesset. Dahu dachsiv, that's what the pasuk says. V'ashiva al edosecha, chashavti, the pasuk says, I chashavti derachai, I planned on walking over there. My feet take me somewhere else. Take me somewhere else. And what is the plukta, says the Medrash? The question was, how do you have a greater effect on the broader community? So Rab Chiya said, living in the Beis Medrash all day, I will never ever have an impact on anybody else. So what did he want to do? He wanted to learn in public in order to what? What? Right. Engage people. Maybe show them, how he conducts himself, and so on and so forth. That was his position. Rebbe's position was that that's a very nice idea, my little Talmud Chia. But what happens when you start going all over the place? What possibility happens? You get influenced. You start seeing what's happening in the shuk, and you start being attracted to it. I'm sure I've told you, it's the famous debate between the storyteller, the Dubna Magid and the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon invited the Dubna Magid Erev Yom Kippur to give him Musar. So the Dubna Magid is thinking, what am I going to tell the Goon? So he said, Mr. Goon, you think you're such a great Goon? You think you're such a great scholar? I know why you're a great scholar. Because all you do is sit and learn all day. You never leave your apartment. You never do anything. I travel to every town in Europe, try to what? To be Meirer people and so on and so forth. If I was sitting in your Beis Medrash all day, I'd be a bigger goon than you are. So the goon thinks for a minute and he says, Avu steht as muzain a kunstler. Where does he have to be a magician? I couldn't do both things. I can't learn and try to convince people to learn. But that's the debate. Whether or not you try to make impact on others. So some say that this is the kernel of the debate between Rebbe and Rab Chiya. Rab Chiya believed that having a more outwardly approach, and therefore he goes to the shuk to learn. That's what he learned with his two nephews. And Rebbe said, quoting this David HaMelech, that my feet always take me back to the Beis Medrash. And it fits in very well, because Rebbe was Mibes David, Mibes Social David HaMelech. We know that, Dor from Dor. That's why he treated himself like royalty, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, because he felt he's part of the Davidic kingdom. So that's another way of interpreting that particular machloikis. Lomagain Vaiter. Lomagain Vaiter. Nach a story. Zudra Bartuvia have a kapasik sidra kamei de Rav Yehuda. Zudra Bartuvia was reciting psukim in the presence of Rav Yehuda. Kimato lahai psukim, psuka, when he came to the following pasuk. Ve'ele divrei David ho'achroinim. These are the last words of David. This is a pasuk in Shmuel. What is it? Shmuel Bet?
Yeah.
Shmuel Bet. Shmuel Bet. So, Omale, so, this is Zutra and Tovia. So Rabbi Yehuda asked Zutra, Omale, achroinim, if the text says these are the last words of David, Michlal Dika Rishainim. Must be that there are earlier words of David. Asks him, Rishainim Ainiyu. What exactly were the first words of David HaMelech? Very strange question. What perek is this? Perek Chavdalet. Chavgim. Obviously, it's hard to understand what do you mean these are David Achroinim when you got the rest of Shmuel Bey's unfolding. And he said the first words, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bey's, you know, I got plenty of things there. David HaMelech said, what's going on here? So, what he did was, Shasik v'lo amale, v'lo midi. So Zutra didn't, Tuvia bar Zutra didn't say a thing.
He has Rabbi Yehuda,
doesn't he? Right? Shasak. Shasak. Why would it be Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe it's the other way around. But let me see. I don't know. Okay. No, I don't think it's that way, but okay. Shasik, v'lo yolay midi. Hadar, immediately thereafter, Amale, he repeated the question. Achroinim michlal deika rishoinim. Question, rishoinim mahi. Amale, he responded, my datach, what do you think? Delo yada, my datach, delo yada perusha dahai kra, lav gavarabahu. You mean to tell me if I don't know the answer to your question, that means that what? I'm not a great person? Or somebody's not a great person? Yada, he understood, the nokat milsa bidate, that Rabbi Yehuda was a little upset with him, and therefore, nohag nizifusa binafshe chad yoima. So he decided, like we've seen all these other stories, he observed Nizuf one day, just even though nobody put him into Nizuf, he just did it on his own because he sensed that Rabbi Yehuda was upset with him. Okay. So now the Gemara continues and says, Ad'asan Allah, now that we came across this story, I'd like to know exactly what Rishonim and Achrayim are. What exactly is this? Ada asan Allah miha achroinim michlal deika rishainim rishainamai. What exactly is going on here? Answers the Gemara. Vayidaber David Lashem es divri hashira hazos biyom hitzil Hashem oso mikaf kol oivav umikaf sha'ur. That is. That is the Rishon. What did the David mean? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean with this? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu leDavid. David, Shira ata omer amapalaso shel Shaul? You're now saying a shir on the fact that what? That you defeated the demise of whom? Of Shaul? Ilmalei ata Shaul. Vehu David, if I'm going to translate what Rashi now, had you been born in the mazel of Shaul, and Shaul been born in the mazel of David, Ibadati kama David mipanav. I would have what? I would have had to eliminate many Davids in the presence of Shaul. That's how great he was. And you're now singing at his demise? Hainu d'chsev, that's what the pasuk says. Shigayon l'David. David made a terrible mistake. Asher shar l'ashem al divrei kush benyamini. Asks the Gemara, v'chi kush shemo? Was his name Kush? Shalo shol shemo. Shol was his name. Ella. Ma kushi mishune ba'oro. Just as a African American stands out by the color of his skin, af Shaul mishune b'ma'asav. So too, Shaul was as great. His actions were so great that it would be impossible to take note of Shaul's great accomplishments. Kayotze bo, and we find a similar usage of Kushi in this particular context. Ata omer al odos ha'isha hakushit asher lokach. It says vatidaber Miriam, that Miriam spoke about Moshe on account of the isha kushit asher lokach. Asks the Gemara, v'chi kushit shema? Was her name Kushit? V'halo tzipora shema? Ela ma kushit mishuna be'ora, af tzipora mishuna b'ma'aseha. So too, tzipora was loaded with masim tovim, and it stood out to everyone to notice, just as you notice the color of a Now, I'll just tell you something that Reb Chaim once said on that pasuk. And of course, agreeing with the Gemara, but there is one other word in the Gemara. It's at the pasuk. It says, "Al odot hakushit asher lokach." That's what it says. What?
Asher lokach yishu kush lokach.
Correct. Good. Does anybody remember what Rashi says after on the word asher lokach? V'achar kein girsha. And then divorced us. So the way we understand Miriam's complaint is not attacking the fact that he married a Cushite, an Ethiopian woman. That's not the issue. The issue is he decided to divorce her. Why did he decide to divorce her? Because he felt, I have to be ready to accept the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all time. And that's what Miriam said. We're also living. Halo gam banu diber Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us as well. Did we necessarily feel compelled to separate from our spouses? So Moshe said nothing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Miriam, you're not Moshe. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. That Moshe, lo chen avdi Moshe, b'chol beisi ne'eman hu, pe'al davar. You're not Moshe Rabbeinu, so don't compare yourself to Moshe. So a lot of people don't like to accept that Medrash Halacha, asher lokach v'achakei girsha. They want to attack, they want to read the simple pshat of the text. And what do they quote as support for the simple part of the text? In Parshas Pinchas. Who challenged Moshe Rabbeinu on having married after the Benos Tzlofcha, no, after the Benos Moav made themselves available to many, and who, Zimri ben Salu, the sea base of Lashimoni, had relations with who, or took for a wife, one of these women. What was her name?
Cosby
Basur. So she was ready to what? So Rashi says, what was going on? Hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave you permission to marry that woman? And they quoted Ki Isha Kushit Lakach. And even Miriam was complaining about what? That you married an inappropriate woman, an Ethiopian woman who wasn't Medayer at all. What's going on here? So Reb Chaim said, it's a this text, I don't know how he said this, the Rashi's text, addition, that the concern was not that she was an Ethiopian woman who didn't convert, which gives justification for Zimri ben Salu. It's the fact that he divorced her. That was the crux of the marriage. And it's no proof whatsoever to you taking it. And this comment of Rashi is halacha l'moshe misina. That's what Reb Chaim said. That's what the Rebbe always said. How did Reb Chaim know it's halacha l'moshe misina? No place in the Talmud does it say it's halacha l'moshe misina. But the Rebbe always said, grandfather said it, can't challenge it. Grandfather said it, can't challenge it.
But doesn't the Gemara back up what Rashi's saying?
The what?
The Gemara here?
No, here the Gemara doesn't say he divorced her. Hmm? He didn't say he divorced
her. No, but it's not taken as a criticism.
No, that's correct. It just said, because the Gemara is interpreting Kushit as not an Ethiopian woman. Just meaning dark skinned. You know,
no, but the point is that when you call
the Kushi, dark skin, unless you came from Ethiopia.
The point is that Kushi in the Gemara is saying is not an insult,
right?
That's meaning that it's
correct. That is correct.
That Miriam's statement is not insulting.
That is correct.
Tahora.
That is correct.
Right. That's
correct.
Right?
Good. Now, take a look at Rashi, the Dibur Hamaskel Michlal deIkar Rishoyim. Michlal deIkar Rishoyim. Once we say "Vaydaber David" is divrei achronim,
it's the last word of the second to last wide line.
Right. So Rashi says, "Vahalolo motzinu sheomar David divrei ela b'mikra zeh the divrei lasha nevuah." How does Rashi know? Rashi tries to explain the Gemara. How does the Gemara assume that this pasuk in Perek Chaf Gimel is indeed the last prophecy that David HaMelech had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do I know that? So Rashi says, on account of the fact that the phrase Vayidaber David at Divrei Hashira Hazot Asher Hitzel Mikafel Hashem Shaul is the last time in Tanakh that David uses the word, that the word Divrei appears in conjunction with David. So it's not that it's the last pasuk in Parshas in Sefer Shmuel. It's the last communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David, claims Rashi. How does he know? Because the word Divrei always means nevuah. Shid divrei b'mikra eino divrei elolosha nevuah. That's what Rashi says. And since the word divrei doesn't appear in the rest of Tanakh in the name of David, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's last discussion with David HaMelech. That's what the Gemara claims. That's what Rashi says. However, if you take a look now at the Ritva, on page number 6, Nichlal Diga Rishonim, Perush Rashi Zal, Divrei Mashma Losh Nevuah. And therefore, Ulahachi Masma, therefore the Gemara is perplexed. Nichlal Diga Rishonim. If we see the word divrei here, there must be what? Things that preceded it. Heichon matzinu lo divrei nevuah. Where else did I what? Find words of nevuah attributed to David HaMelech. Umaskana de rishonim hainu dechsiv vayidaber David Lashem es divrei hashira hazois. Ubechol sefer tilim. It's interesting spelling of Tehillim. It's like people say that Tehillim group. You know, that's the way he wrote it. It's very unusual. Not Tehillim.
It's a typo.
Tilim. What?
It's a typo.
So in these editions of the Ritva, they correct typos. It's not like the old-fashioned Ritvas. Loimatsinu shama divrei shehu nevuah elozeh. Hadar omar Talmuda milsa achriti. Then the Gemara quoted another pasuk, which may have been the last thing. The last one. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. Why are you singing to me a shira on the death of Shaul? Kol ze loshen Rashi. Ve'eino nachon. Ze nishkerech. Devadai shapir matzir lemeima divrei al ruach HaKadosh. The word divrei doesn't have to be limited to what we call actual nevuah. Any divine inspiration is already considered nevuah. Shine'em arbo, kol sefer tilim. All of sefer tilim was said divinely inspired by David HaMelech. And everyone says there was Ruach HaKodesh. So don't ask me to explain, well, what the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and nevuah is. There's a difference. Because nevuah for most Nevi'im does not mean like Moshe Rabbeinu, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says exactly what he had in mind. What is nevuah? Images, chaloms, images, visions, sentences, you know, words. You got to put the puzzle together. So that's what I would think is Ruach HaKodesh. What exactly is the difference between that and Ruach HaKodesh? It's hard to know. I can't really know the difference. But that's what he says. That's his question. And to say that the last time the David HaMelech employed nevuah in communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be denying the divine element of all of Sefer Tehillim. And you can't say that. Ubetoisvus pirshu michlal diga rishonim shelo nisparshu. It doesn't mean that that what? That because I see something here, the word divrei here, oh, it must be divrei someplace else. What does it mean, rishonim? It means that these words were not yet what? Explained well. Umayniu, de'ilu b'pnei osan shenis parshu, havadai lo yosel ashmina. Those that made a lot of sense or explained, I don't need the Gemara to tell me, look up things that are perfectly understood. The asikna, the rishonim vaydaber David, meaning ki af al pishin isparshu divrei David, lo nisparshu hadvarim sheheshiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When David HaMelech said vaydaber David ashira hazos ashehitzul mikaf kolam hashol, there is no response recorded there in the text. None whatsoever. And therefore, Dugmas Devarav Ho'achroinim. I'll give you another illustration of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did say something. Shine Emar Bohem Elokei Yisrael Li Daber Tzur Yisrael She'ein Divrei HaMakom Mifuroshim Bekra. In that particular pasuk, it doesn't say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu even said to him. So, what does it mean, Rishon and Achron? It has nothing to do with juxtaposition and chronology of the text. It means, are there any times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where David may have said something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow hid his particular response to David? So in the pasuk of Vaydaber David Shashira Zos, that's identified as Rishon. That's the first place where David says something. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded at the time. The Gemara fills it in, but the text doesn't say that. And the phrase Shigayon LeDavid is not in Shmuel. That's in Tehillim. That's David himself saying about himself, I made a terrible mistake. Because apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled him in, but the text doesn't say it. So too in the pasuk, Elokei Yisrael li daber, Tzur Yisrael, doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk what exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him. David is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me something, and there was no indication what. That's the Achron. That's the Rishon. The Achron is by Daber David, and the first time, or that is that. She'ein divrei hamakom mefurashim b'fra. V'hashta mefarish Talmuda divrei hamakom. And now the pasuk is explaining. She'omar al divrei Ashira, amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leDavid. Why are you saying Shira unto me upon the death of Shaul?
So it's not a commentary on the level of David thinks. Commentary is just what Hashem is responding to.
Correct.
No comment on what David.
Correct. And that's the difficulty. And that's what the dialogue between Tuvia and Rabbi Yehuda wanted to be. Do you happen to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was in explaining to David what's happening? The Ravid says that Rishonim and Achronim have absolutely no connection whatsoever to first or last. It's the first or last and last episode that David directed his attention to Shaul, his predecessor. That's what the dialogue of Rishonim and Achronim is. Because he says that it's introduced not as Eile Divrei David HaAchroinim, Ve'Eile. Ve'Eile, the Vav, as Rashi says often, Vav Mosif Ala Rishonim. So if there is a Vav, that's what prompted the question. Michlal, if you're saying Ve'Eile David, there's got to be not only something that preceded it, but something in the same context. Not just where there is a communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David, so therefore the Ravid says it's the connection, David's reaction or discussion about Shaul's demise, and that's the connection of Rishonim and Achronim. Nothing beyond that.
It's not about Shaul's demise. It's about
his
sparing. Yeah.
Being spared, correct. But it's how did he get spared?
He didn't get spared, but Shaul died. Shaul's demise, not Shaul's demise, in reference to David, not Shaul's.
Correct. Demise. That's true. The Rashash asks another question on Rashi. He asks the following question. Rashi makes the statement that every time the word divrei is employed, it's lashon nevuah. Asks the Rashash, what are the opening words of Koheles? Divrei Koheles ben David. Divrei Koheles ben David. Right, very nice. What would that impression, according to Rashi, what impression would that be created? Would be created under those circumstances? That what is Koheles? It's Nevuah. Asks the Rashash, the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, Bikshu Chazal Lignos Sefer Koheles. In Bava Basra, the Gemara discusses the Chavdal Kisvei HaKodesh and says there were several books that had given Chazal a little trouble as to whether or not they wanted to include it or not. Bikshu Lignos Sefer Yecheskel was one of them, and Koheles is another one. So what question do you think the Rashash asks? How could they possibly have considered not including it and begones it if it was a Nebuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Same thing in Yecheskel.
Okay, so you can ask that same question, but right now he's asking the same question on this situation, that Rashi's comment. That's what he writes. And also, there is another, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Yodayim, which tells us that all kisvei hakodesh are mitaminis hayodayim. That if you touch the text, a scroll text of all kisvei hakodesh, your hands become a sheni l'tumah. Everybody remembers the reason, because people used to keep their truma in the Aron Kodesh. They said, Zekodesh, Vzekodesh. Good, so I'll keep in the Aron Kodesh. So, and then what would happen? The rats came in and they made Swiss cheese out of the Sefer Torah. So in order to avoid that, to make sure you never put your truma near Kisvei HaKodesh, they said your hands, if you touch Kisvei HaKodesh, your hands are going to be a Sheni Latuma. If your hands become a Sheni Latuma, what happens to the truma that you touch? It becomes Tame, because a truma can become Tame up to a Shlishi, up to three steps away from the source of the Tuma. A regular food can only become a Sheni Latuma. You're not going to want to have all your truma become Tameh, because then you can't eat it. If you have to burn it, then that's it. So if that's the case, the Gemara, the Mishnah in Yadayim mentions a machloikis whether Koheles is Metameh Yisrael Yadayim or not. So if Koheles is not Metameh Yisrael Yadayim, how could it not be Metameh Yisrael? If it's a Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's got to be Metameh Yisrael Yadayim like everything else. So therefore, the Rashash says the word divrei doesn't necessarily mean nevuah, b'mechilas kvoid Rashi. B'mechilas kvoid Rashi. It doesn't mean it. That's a second question.
The fact that it's nevuah or not doesn't determine whether it's part of the, chavtal tzvarim, which is what, that's the factor that decides. I mean, he's mixing apples and oranges.
He's saying, why would they consider a written scroll that is recording the Nevuas of Hashem, why would that not become Kisvei HaKodesh? You're right. You're actually right. Because they made the determination that it's not, if there was another similar book, there may have been others. We don't know about them. Those are all the books that are not, are called Svarim Chitzoniyim. Like the book of Ben Sira, is called Sifri Chatzayim, not Kisvei HaKodesh. But that's the Rosh Hash question. Yeah. That's the Rosh Hash.
Okay, a whole bunch of them.
Okay. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next of all.